Thanks for joining us on the Cultured Meat Future Food Show. We're excited to have co-founders of Moolec Science on today's episode. Moolec Science is a global pioneer using molecular farming to introduce a hybrid concept between plant-based and cell-based technologies in the alternative protein space. It's a newly formed ag food tech company, consolidating a unique pipeline of projects and capabilities in the molecular farming space, with more than one decade under development. I learned a lot about the molecular farming industry on this episode, and I'm super excited to share it with you. Let's jump right in. Henk, Gaston, and Martin, I'd like to welcome you to the Cultured Meat and Future Food Show.
Thanks, Alex.
Hi, Alex. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure.
So tell us a little bit about the company and your current roles.
Yes, of course. Moolec Science is a company in alternative proteins in the alternative protein landscape. We are working with the first hybrid concept between plant and cell-based. Our main platform is molecular farming technology. This is like a new technology in AgPro. We have a team working since 2008 in this platform with a unique proof of concept with a bovine enzyme, a bovine protein for the cheese market. With all that experience, we capitalize it and we start new developments for the new meat market with different research lines. And now we are working with a multinational team, with the crop science team in the US, with the crop science team also in Argentina, and also in Netherlands with the food tech team there, with Henk working in a new development of new proteins for the meat market. I would say that we have an experienced team with a new perspective, and we are very happy to start trying to tell you, Alex, a little bit more about what we are doing, especially these new research lines.
Great. And there was the proof of concept that you mentioned, I think, back in 2008. What was that proof of concept exactly?
I will let Martin just explain a little bit more about this proof of concept. Martin?
Yeah, definitely. So back in 2008, I've been working for Bioceres. It's an Argentinian ag company dedicated to produce different traits for the agriculture biotechnology space. And at that moment, we wanted to explore the molecular farming space. We have chosen the chymosin. Chymosin is an enzyme that is only used to produce cheese. It's the enzyme responsible for the clotting of the milk in order to produce the cheese. And the reason to do that, I'm not sure you guys know a little bit about the story of biotechnology, but chymosin is an enzyme widely used for platform validation and for technology validation. Actually, it was the first enzyme to be approved by the FDA for the food industry. But FDA approved chymosin back in the 90s because it needed to, for the cheese market, but using fermentation as the main platform. And chymosin is an animal protein. It's a bovine enzyme that you can find it in the stomach of the cattle. The idea for us is just not to do fermentation, but to explore molecular farming. And molecular farming, in a nutshell, is basically to modify crops in order for the crop to produce a new molecule or a new protein for commercial purposes. Historically, I would say that molecular farming was mainly used for the pharma industry and not for industrial enzymes. So we have some sort of a unique perspective for the use of molecular farming, and we wanted to industrialize the concept and use this platform to produce large volumes of proteins and at a low cost. So it's the reverse thing than pharma, where you usually have small volumes, high-value products at the end. We developed the production of this chymosin in the safflower crops. We started in 2008. It took us a couple of years to develop the technology at the lab scale. Then we went all the way through pilot, and we actually built the first industrial facility to produce chymosin using molecular farming. That was done in Argentina in 2016. And that was quite an achievement for us for different perspective, for the regulatory perspective, and to be the first worldwide commercial facility to produce an enzyme through molecular farming for the food industry. That was quite an achievement for us. At that moment, Bioceres, we thought that we had validated the technology and we wanted to explore the technology for different proteins. And the natural pipeline for us was to explore more the food industry, particularly the meat, right? But at Bioceres, we didn't have the expertise at that moment, and that is when Gaston came into the scene. He started to talk to Bioceres CEO about the possibility of creating a new company dedicated to produce animal proteins using molecular farming. And I would say that's the beginning of Moolec Science as a spin-off of Bioceres a couple of years ago, although we incorporated the company recently, but the idea started to mature right after we validate and we start our industrial and commercial production of the chymosin. So the story of molecular farming and using the chymosin as a proof of concept.
Thanks for that, Martin. I think I'd love to ask you guys about what, in a more in-depth way, what molecular farming is. But before we do that, I just want to step back a little bit and thank you for that kind of origin story. So Martin and Gaston, you two met at Bioceres. What about Henk? Because Henk, you're based in the Netherlands, is that right?
Yeah, so I'm working from the Netherlands. And basically, let's say earlier this year, Gaston and Martin, they roped me into the project where several strategic discussions needed to be held in terms of what would be the potential pipeline for the future. And let's say our discussions were dynamic and actually very fruitful. We decided that the insight that I offered, but also the expertise of Martin and the business sense of, let's say, Gaston's background had a lot of, what you call it, synergy. So we just decided to move forward with the three of us. Or actually, Gaston asked me to join the three of them, or the two of them.
Great. And if we were to have explain it like I'm five, or very kind of simplified version of what is molecular farming and why is it important, what would be that answer?
The perfect guy to explain this is Martin. I don't know if Martin, you have proper science to explain this.
Molecular farming, I'm not sure how deep do you want to go into the technology, but basically, so what we want to do is to use the photosynthesis from the plants to produce new molecules, because plants are quite efficient in the use of energy if you compare with other systems, and more importantly, if you compare with machinery like bioreactors, tanks. So the idea basically of molecular farming is to have a system of low-cost production of different molecules using the plant as a bioreactor. In order for us to do that, what we need to do is just to modify the crop, genetically modify the crop. We introduce a gene of our interest into the genome of the plant, and then the plant do the rest. You just need the land, you need sun, you need water, and that's it. And that's the beauty of the technology in terms of energy use and how efficient it is if you basically compare with fermentation or other ways to produce industrial proteins. So once you have your modified crop, your modified plant, then it's just farming. And that is other thing that we think is democratized the technology, because once you have the crop, then anyone can just do the farming. There is no mysteries on the farming, right? How you will recover the protein from your crop, there is no mystery also there. There are a lot of different technologies that you can use in order for you to recover the proteins. So we are doing a very high tech in order for us to have the crop. But once you have the crop, then it's just farming for you to recover the protein, for you to have a product.
I see. Okay. And when we use the term plant-based bioreactor, for example, what is the process of extracting that protein from the crop?
That depends on what kind of protein, what is the protein of your interest, and how pure do you want your protein? But since our approach is not to have purified proteins, it's quite simple. You have different methods just to concentrate the protein from crop. The crops that we are focusing on are high protein crops, all well-known technologies to recover the proteins. You can just concentrate the protein with different well-known methods.
Okay, great. And so in terms of the projects that your team is working on now, what will be the ultimate kind of output? And will it be eventually a consumer-facing product? Will it be a B2B product that you sell to different potential food manufacturers? What is that outlook?
I will take this one. We have a B2B model where actually, at the end of the day, our technologies would allow us to get plant proteins with the specialties of our animal cells to get a unique blend, an animal-free solution, and an affordable solution for meat producers to get amazing products for the consumers. So we would say that it could be a B2B model.
Okay, great. And to continue to wrap my head around the science and definitely take note that I don't have a science background, so simplified answers are always helpful. But when we say this hybrid between a plant-based and a cell-based, is it more of acellular agriculture similar to what we see companies like Clara Foods doing? Or is it beyond that?
It's better to understand first the technologies. We say that actually plant-based is more food tech than science. The plant-based is a replacement of animal protein through plant proteins. Cell-based, you have, in general speaking, fermentation and cultured meat and other technologies too, but that's the main technology is NALPRO. Clara Foods is making fermentation. Molecular farming is like an hybrid concept because we actually use plants as bioreactors. We use the plants, we use the crops. We want the original protein from the plants. That's the reason why we are using soybean and pea, because they are the plant proteins that actually they are playing in the alternative proteins market. But our technologies allow us to express target proteins, special proteins that we understand that improve formulas and solutions for the producers, this protein from the animals. So we use cell-based genetical engineer to express these target proteins in that plant. If we are seeing the whole landscape of NALPRO, we are not finding specific companies that are using molecular farming to get these kind of solutions. So that's the reason why we're saying that the first hybrid concept, and that's the reason why we are now working with molecular farming. So we think that we need to feed as a whole planet in 2050 more than 10 billion people. So we need to put all the technologies on the table so as to take the best of each of these technologies at the same time. The reason why we start making this media launch and we're telling what we are doing is because we want to start in some way collaborating with other companies so as to explore different research lines. We understand that we are all in a big race in NALPRO, but at the same time, we need to, in some way, start to open our technologies so as to co-work in some ways. I don't know if, Alex, you understand just a little bit more about molecular farming and the hybrid concept, but in general speaking, and of course, I'm not a tech guy, and that's the reason why we have Martin and Henk here, but it could be an overview of our differential and technology that we're working.
If I may jump in, so if you see it the other way around, Alex, molecular farming is a way to do what cellular agriculture is doing, or at least precision fermented proteins, but then we bring it back to the plant, okay? So basically, if you look at food formulations, meat formulations, or any other type of formulation that uses a protein, now animal protein, it's usually accompanied by plant protein or the other way around. And in this case, if we can make, and this is why Castellan is always referring to as a hybrid, if we can basically engineer or modify the plants to do the work for us, then we're killing two flies or two birds with one stone. For example, and this is not, let's say, our pipeline, but if we were to make a hybrid between, let's say, egg albumin and wheat flour, then all of a sudden you would have a product that's suitable for the bakery and there's no need for processing, okay? But there's so many other combinations you could think of, and that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to find the right combination of a animal protein that's used in our food system, usually together with a plant protein, and then make that in one go. Later on, we can always decide, oh, we want to isolate or separate, say, the natural proteins and the protein of interest. But that's a discussion for later on. But that wouldn't also be rocket science because we're already doing that in the food industry. So I guess that's a different way of putting things.
Great. And actually, that definitely brings a lot of clarity to the process. And I think now is maybe a good time to transition to the overall mission of the company and maybe even dive into personal missions and goals. Gaston, you mentioned that we are at this stage where we need to feed more people in this world. And that seems like part of the mission of Moolec Science. But maybe you can reiterate that mission. And then also, if each of you could tell us maybe the personal motivations for this kind of direction, that would be great.
It's a good point, because at the end of the day, we get up every morning to do so many things in our company. And we need the motivation to do that. Personally, it's because I'm the fourth generation of traditional meat pork producers from here, from Argentina. Our family business will aim to get to 100 years. It's a big history here. We have a very well-known brand. Actually, the brand of our family business company is our last name. I'm very proud of what we have and what we did and of my father and my grandfather. And at the same time, we need to start thinking in the next generations and in the what we are going to do with some of the issues and problems that the traditional food systems have. My personal motivation is because of that. At the same time, I'm every day feeding my kids, and they're very small now. They have close to 3 years and 3 years old and 1 year and a half. I have two kids. But I'm wondering, when we get older and start making tough questions about the family business, why we're doing this or that with the animal or with the food. And I think that I personally need another answer to them, not only for them and also for the planet that they're, for the world that they're going to live. So that's my personal one. And I will leave Henk and Martin to tell them.
Okay. I think I have a quite similar motivation to Gaston, since I'm a father to a beautiful son. He's 3 years old. I'm afraid that whenever he got a little bit older, he will ask me, "Dad, what have you done with this world that is hectic and things are not going well for us?" I think my motivation is to leave him some sort of a better place than the one we found. And the other thing is, to be honest, since we do think that molecular farming can bring solutions to farmers and to producers, not only from the lack of sustainability on the meat production itself, but also on the increasing demand of food from this always growing world. And we have the tool. Why don't we offer this opportunity to the farmers and try to be globally?
Great. And Henk?
Yeah. So I would say my motivation, of course, are my children, my family directly, but just the general well-being of our society. It's not only from a sustainability point of view, but also from that I really think our food system is broken and we need to fix this. And it's, again, not only from a sustainability point of view, but also from an equity point of view, that I think we have created a system which has taken us so far away from what we should be doing or should be eating, that we need to resort to these drastic measures of cellular agriculture, molecular farming, and what have you. These are really good technologies to help us out at this point in time and also going forward. But I also think we should be developing technologies which should bring power back to the farmers in all parts of the world. So that's also a motivation for myself to say, can we make something where, you know, not only the big corporations or the big ingredient producers will have control over? So could we make a system which is a bit more local? Could we provide our technology to farmers in somewhere in Africa, for example, an African continent, where they can retain the value or a larger chunk of the value chain instead of just selling the seed itself? So I guess that's also an extra motivation. And not only the African continent, but also all the hotspots in the world where we see population growth in Southeast Asia is also going to run into their own issues. And that's, I think, intrinsically motivates me to come up with more ideas for a better food system.
Definitely inspiring and enlightening answers from everyone. My next question is about Argentina, because Argentina has a very strong meat culture. And so, directed towards Gaston and Martin, what is the consumer perception of alternative proteins in Argentina?
It's true, and a strong perception for meat as well, but the Alpro is pretty new here. We have some good companies that are making the first approach to the market. We have Notco here, the Chilean company with the plant base in the market. We have other few companies that with some products on the market, but it's too soon to know the results. It's very few, and we don't have a consumer too much aware of the main problem. But that's why we decide to incorporate Moolec Science in UK and to first to see different other markets, because we understand that there's a different game there, not just only for Alpro, but also for the traditional ones. We have a very good perspective, very good, I would say, experience of traditional meat, but the market is very few. And it's not that, for example, US or UK or other main cities or around the world, that there are now more consumers more aware about the main problem and the issues of the traditional meat system. At the same time, they start deciding to spend a few more dollars or euros to buy an alternative product. So we're seeing now this in US, and we are seeing this now in Europe and in different parts. So we decide to be close to these markets first. And of course, as Henk said before, we have an inclusive model systems for the early future. So we will probably, when the times comes better from this part of the world, we could have, of course, product here. But our first approach are more for the US and of course, for places that will allow to perhaps grow our crops there and to capitalize the science from Moolec in places that will need affordable products to substitute animal proteins. As Hank said before, Africa and South Asia and others hotspot too. I would say that it's good for us to be Argentinians so as to better understand the traditional food system. And we are very well-known people to know and understand the animals, especially beef. But we are now working with a multinational team. And it's great to have this diversity of a great team with not just Hollywood, with Hank and Martin, of course, but we have Amit Dhingra with and a crop science team in the US, as I said before, and some more science team here. And we are start working with different people in the Netherlands as well. So as this hybrid and diversity in the team, it's great to have traditional and new, to have PhDs and tech all in the same teams co-working in some way. It's amazing to have that energy in Moolec Science now.
Hank, Gaston, and Martin, thank you so much. You can get in touch with the team at Moolec Science at moolecscience.com. Hank, Gaston, and Martin, are there any last insights you may have for our listeners today before we drop off?
It could be great to keep on the loop and to be very well connected in the future. So you could follow us in our LinkedIn account. We are all the time communicating our improvements in the lab and in the fields. And we have a transparent technology. Our labs are open. Of course, we have our IP and secret sauce, of course. But at the end of the day, we have a transparent company and transparent and global company and technology. And we want to communicate what we are doing every day. So follow us on LinkedIn and let's keep in touch. We have our website on place as well. And we are free to collaborate. We are free to and very well open to just start co-working with other startups. And of course, if there are some consumers or future consumers from Moolec Science that they have more questions about what we are doing, we are free to open our doors and to have an open space to us to communicate more of what we are doing. So thank you very much, Alex. It's great for us to give us this opportunity to better tell what we are doing. And this it could be great to keep in touch in the future.
Great. Thank you so much for being with us today and sharing your stories and insight on the Future Food Show. This is your host, Alex, and we look forward to being with you on our next episode.
This program was produced by H Media. We'll see you soon.